Brachos Dav Dalet. Benayu ben Yehoyada ze Sanhedrin. The Eviatar Elu Urim Vetumim. Benayu ben Yehoyada corresponds to the Sanhedrin, since he was the head of the Sanhedrin. And Eviatar corresponds to the Urim Vetumim, as Eviatar ben Achimelech, the priest, would oversee inquiries directed to the Urim Vetumim. See Shmuel Aleph, Perek Kav Gimel. Vechein hu Omer, Benayu ben Yehoyada, ala kresi v'ala plesi. Alama nikrishmam kresi uplesi. Kresi shakorsim divrayim. Plesi shimufloim bidivrayim. Tahakach sartavala melech yoav. And so it says regarding Benayahu ben Yehoyada's position as head of the Sanhedrin. And Benayahu ben Yehoyada was over the kresi and over the plesi. In Shmuel Beis, Perikah. And why was the Sanhedrin called kresi uplesi? It was called kresi because they were decisive. Korsim. In their pronouncements, and it was called Plesi because of their pronouncements and wisdom were wondrous, Muflaim. The head of the Kresi Uplesi was the head of the Sanhedrin. According to the order of the verse, upon being instructed by King David to go to war, the sages first consulted with Achitophel, then with the Sanhedrin, and then they would ask the Urim V'Tumim, and only thereafter was the general of the king's army, Yoav, given the command to ready the military for battle. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ado, v'amrila Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Eder Avidi. Ma'ikra urach vodi urach hanevel v'chinor a'ira shachar. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ado, and some say Rabbi Yitzchak son of Avidi, said, from what verse is it derived that David's lyre would make him awake, would wake him at midnight? Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre. I will wake the dawn. This is Tehillim Nun Zayin. This means that the playing lyre has already woken, and now I must engage in Torah study until dawn. Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe la'olam havayoda, v'David nami havayoda. Rabbi Zera offered a different solution to the question of whether Moshe and David knew exactly when it was midnight, and said, Moshe certainly knew when it was midnight, and David also knew. V'kevin de David havayoda, the Gemara asks, if David knew, then why did he need the lyre? The Gemara answers, he needed the lyre to wake him from his sleep. The cave in de Moshe Havayada, Lama le Lemeimar Kachatzos. Moshe Kasavar, Shema Yitu Itztagnine Leparo, Vayomru, Moshe Barahu. Damar Mar, Lamed Lashoncha, Lomar Eni Odea, Shema Tisbada Veteachet. Similarly, with regard to Moshe, since Moshe knew the precise moment of midnight, why did he say about midnight instead of at midnight? Moshe did so because he maintained, lest Paro's astrologers err and believe midnight to be earlier, since no disaster would have occurred, they would say, Moshe is a liar. Chas v'shalom. Moshe spoke in accordance to the principle articulated by the master, accustom your tongue to say, I do not know, lest you become entangled in a web of deceit. Rav Ashi Omer, Bepalga Urta de Tleisar Nagi Arbesar Havakai. Vahachika Omer, Moshe Li Yisrael. Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lamachar Kachatzos Alayla, Ki Ha'idna, Ani Yotze B'toch Mitzrayim. Rav Ashi said, the question is unfounded, as Moshe was standing at midnight of the 13th, leading to the 14th, when he pronounced his prophecy. This is 24 hours before the Makas Bechoros. And Moshe told Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that tomorrow, at the exact time, like midnight tonight, I will go out into the midst of Egypt. This indicates that the passage should not be understood to mean about midnight, an approximation, but rather like midnight as a comparison, likening midnight tomorrow to midnight tonight. The David, Shamra Nafshi Ki Chasid Ani, Levi v'Rabbi Yitzchak, Charamar, Kachamar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, lo chasid ani, shekol malchi mizrach umarav yeshenim ad shelosh shaos, v'ani kachatzos laila akum lahodos lecha. The Gemara further explores David HaMelech's character. It is said, a prayer of David, keep my soul, for I am pious. Tehillim pei vav. Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak debated the meaning of this verse and how David's piety is manifest in the fact that he went beyond his fundamental obligations. One said, David's declaration of piety referred to his awakening during the night to pray. And so said David before Hashem, Master of the universe, am I not pious, as all of the kings of the east and the west sleep until the third hour of the day? But although I am like a king, but although I am a king like them, nevertheless, at midnight I rise to give thanks. Ve'idach, kach amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, lo chasid ani, shekol malchei Mizrach u'Maariv yoshvim agudos agudos bichvodam, ve'ani yonei miluch lochos medam u'v'shapar u'v'shilya, kedei latar ish elevaylo. Ve'lo od ela, kol ma she'ani yoseh, ani nimlach b'mefiboshes rabbi. Ve'omer li, mefiboshes rabbi, yafet anti, yafet zichiyavti, yafet zichisi, yafet tiharti, yafet timesi, ve'lo boshti. And the other sage said, David said the following before Hashem. Master of the universe, am I not pious? For all the kings of the east and the west sit in groups befitting their honored status. But I sit as a judge who issues rulings for the people. Women come with questions of ritual impurity, and my hands become soiled with their blood as I labor to determine whether or not it is blood of impurity. And she has menstruating woman status, and with a fetus that miscarried at the stage of development before it was clear whether or not it is considered a birth, and with a placenta, which women sometimes discharge unrelated to the birth of a child. See Vayikra, Perek Tesvav, regarding the blood, and Perek Yudbeis, regarding the miscarriage and placenta. David HaMelech went to all this trouble in order to render a woman ritually pure and consequently permitted to her husband. If, after examinations, the sage declared the woman ritually pure, she is permitted to be with her husband, which leads to increased love and affection, and ultimately to having children, according to Rabbi Yehoshayu Pinto. And not only do I engage in activity considered to be beneath the station of a king, but I consult my teacher, Mephibosheth, son of Shaul HaMelech's son, Yonatan, with regard to everything that I do. I say to him, Mephibosheth, my teacher, did I decide properly? Did I convict properly? Did I acquit properly? Did I rule ritually pure properly? Did I rule ritually impure properly? And I was not embarrassed, meaning I'm not embarrassed to ask my teacher. Foregoing royal dignity should make me worthy to be called pious. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua Bereda Ravidi, my krav adabra ba'edosecha neged malachim v'loi vosh. Rabbi Yehoshua, son of Ravidi, said, what verse alludes to this? And I speak of your testimonies before kings, and I will not be ashamed. Also, Tehillim Kufyotes. This verse alludes to both to David HaMelech's commitment to Torah, in contrast to the kings of the East and the West, as well as to the fact that he was not ashamed to discuss matters of Torah with Mephibosheth, a descendant of kings. David HaMelech was not afraid to have his mistakes corrected by Mephibosheth, who again was the son of Yonatan, who you might argue should have been king instead of David HaMelech, since he was the son of the previous king Shaul. Tana, lo Mephibosheth shmo, ela Ishbosheth shmo. Lama nikro shmo Mephibosheth, shahim avayish pnei David bahalocha. Lefikach zacha David v'yatza mimenu kila. It was taught in Etz Sefta from a Tanaic tradition. His name was not Mephibosheth, but rather Ishbosheth was his name. Why was Ishbosheth referred to as Mephibosheth? Because he would embarrass mevayish David in matters of halacha. According to this approach, Mephibosheth is an abbreviation of Boshes panim, embarrassment. Because David was not embarrassed to admit his errors, he merited that Kilav, who, according to tradition, was exceedingly wise, would descend from him, from David. Kilav was one of the four people who never sinned. Binyamin ben Yaakov, Yishai, Aviv shel David HaMelech, Amram Aviv shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and Kilav ben David. I think that's the Gemara in Shabbos. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo kilav shmo, ela Daniel shmo, v'lama nikra shmo kilav, shahaya machlim pnei Mephibosheth ba'alacha. Rabbi Yochanan said, his name was not Kilav, rather his name was Daniel, as it appears in a different list of David's descendants. In other words, Daniel ben David. But why was he called Kilav as a nickname? Because he would embarrass machlim Mephibosheth, the teacher or authority figure, Av, in matters of halacha. Kil Av, so Machlim the Av. In other words, if Mephibosheth embarrassed David HaMelech, And David HaMelech had a son, Kilav, who embarrassed Mephibosheth. Ve'olav amar Shlomo b'chochmoso, b'ni im chacham libecha yismach libi gamani. Ve'omer chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'ashiva chorfi dover. In his book of wisdom, Shlomo said about this wise son, who again, that would be Shlomo's brother, because Shlomo was the son of David and Kilav was the son of David. How did Shlomo describe him? My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will be glad, even mine, in Mishlei Kaf Gimel. As David enjoyed witnessing his son Kilav develop into a Torah luminary to the extent that Kilav was able to respond to Mephibosheth, who was the Rebbe of David. And Shlomo says about Kilav, his brother, be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may respond to those who taunt me. But David, Mikar Linafshe Chasid, Bahaksiv, Luleha Mati Liros Betuba Shambi Eretz Chaim, Tatanamish made a Rabbi Yossi, Lama Nakod al Lule, Omer David, Lifnea Kodesh Baruch, Ribono Shalola, Muftahani Becha, Shani Mishalim Schartov, Sheata Mishalim Schartov, Latzadikim Lasid Levo, Avalani Ode, Im Yesh Lichelik Benayim in love. With regard to David's statement, keep my soul, for I am pious, the Gemara asks, did David call himself pious? Isn't it written, if I had not, Lule, if I had not believed to look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in Tehillim Kaf Zayin, the dots that appear over the word Lule in the text indicate doubt and uncertainty of his piety, and whether he was deserving of a place in the land of the living. See Avos de Rebbe Nasan, Lamed Dalet. In the name of Rebbe Yossi, it was taught in a Tosefta, why do doubts appear over the word Lule as if there are some reservations? Because David said before Hashem, Master of the universe, I have every confidence in you that you grant an excellent reward to the righteous in the world to come, since God's ultimate goodness is manifest in the land of eternal life. But I still harbor uncertainty with regard to myself, and I do not know whether or not I definitely have a portion amongst them. In any case, apparently David was uncertain whether or not he was deserved to receive a portion of God's reward for the righteous. How then could you claim that he characterized himself as righteous? Shemayikom hacheit. The Gemara responds, his concern does not prove anything, as King David knew that he was pious. He simply was concerned lest the transgression that he might commit in the future will cause him to lose his opportunity to look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So chassid he is now, but maybe he won't go to Olam Haba because he will sin, God forbid. Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, the Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rama iksiv, v'hinei anochi imachush marticha, v'chol ha-shateleich, uksiv, v'yirei Yaakov ma'od, Omar, Shema Yigamachet. The Gemara cites a proof that there is room for one to fear lest he commit a transgression in the future in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, as Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi raised a contradiction between two verses. It is written that God told Yaakov in his vision of the latter, behold, I am with you and I guard you wherever you go. In Bereshis Kaf Ches. Yet, when Yaakov returned to Canaan and realized that Esav was coming to greet him, it is written, and Yaakov became very afraid, and he was pained or distressed. That's in Bereshis Lamed Beis. Why did Yaakov not rely on God's promise? Yaakov had concerns and said to himself, lest a transgression that I might have committed after God made his promise to me will cause God to revoke his promise of protection. Kedetanya, ad yavor amcha Hashem, ad yavor amzu kaniso. Apparently, at times, transgression does cause God's promise to go unfulfilled, as it was taught explicitly in a brisa with regard to the ostensibly redundant language in the verse in the Song of the Sea. Until your people will cross, Lord, until the people you have acquired will cross. You bring them in, and you plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, which you made for your dwelling. That's in Shir HaSayam, Shmos Tezbal. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Zobia Rishona. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, Zobia Shnia. Mikan Amru Chachamim, Ru'uim Hayo Yisrael Layasas Lehem Neis Bimei Ezra, Kederach Shanasa Lehem Bimei Yahushua Ben Nun. Ela Shegaram HaChet. The Gemara interprets homiletically that until your people will cross refers to the first entry into Eretz Yisrael during the time of Yehoshua, while until the people you have acquired pass over refers to the second entry following the exile in Babel. Based on the juxtaposition of these two entries in this single verse, the Chachamim said, Yisrael was worthy of having a miracle performed on its behalf in the time of Ezra HaSofer, just as One was performed on their behalf in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. However, transgression caused the absence of that miracle in the time of Ezra. The Chachamim omrim ad chatzos. Chachamim keman svirulehu. Iker Rabbi Eliezer svirulehu. Lamekar Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara returns to explain what we had learned in the Mishnah. And the rabbi said, the time for the recitation of the evening Shema is until midnight. The Gemara asks, in accordance with whose opinion do they hold in explaining the verse when you lie down? If they explain the verse in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when you lie down is the time when people customarily go to sleep, then let the rabbis also say that the time for the recitation of Shema extends in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer until the end of the first watch. Dalad Amud Beis. V'ikar Rabban Gamliel svirulehu, lemakar Rabban Gamliel. And if they explain this verse in accordance with the opinion of Rabban Gamliel, who says that when you lie down refers to the entire night, then let the rabbis also say that one may recite their evening Shema until dawn, in accordance with the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. La'olam k'Rabban Gamliel svirulehu, v'hadika amri ad chatzos k'di laharchik es ha'adam min ha'avera, k'di tanya v'chachamim asu siag li nivrayim, k'di shelo yehe adam ba min ha'sara ba'era ba'omer, Elich lebezi ve'ochel kima ve'eshte kima ve'ishin kima ve'achak achak ve'kriya shma ve'esbalo. Ve'chotav tershena ve'nimsi yashin kol ha'layla. Avalara ba'min asare ba'erev nichnas lebezi ha'kineses im ragali kros korit ve'im ragali shna shonim. Ve'kore kriya shma o'mispalo ve'ochel pita o'mavarev. The Gemara answers, actually, the rabbis hold in accordance with the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. And the fact that they said until midnight is in order to distance a person from transgression. As it was taught in the Braisa, the rabbis created a fence for their pronouncements with regard to the recitation of Shema in order to prevent a situation where a person comes home from the field in the evening, tired from his day's work, and knowing that he's permitted to recite Kriya Shema until dawn, said to himself, I'll go home, eat a little, drink a little, sleep a little, and then I will recite the Shema and recite the evening prayer. In the meantime, he's overcome by sleep and ends up sleeping all night. However, since one is concerned lest he fall asleep, and fail to wake up before midnight in order to recite the Shema at the appropriate time, he will come home from the field in the evening, enter the shul, and until it is time to pray, he will immerse himself in Torah study. If he's accustomed to read from the Tanakh, he reads from the Tanakh. If he is accustomed to learning Mishnah at a more, considered to be a more advanced level of study, then he learns that Mishnah, and then he recites the Shema and prays as he should. And when he arrives home, he eats his meal with a contented heart and recites a blessing. Berakos Hamazon. The Kol HaOver al Divrei Chachamim Chayav Misa. The Braisa concludes with a warning. Anyone who transgresses the pronouncements of the sages is liable to receive the death penalty. Ma'ishna b'kol duchta d'lo ketani chayav misa u'ma'ishna hachadik ketani chayav misa. This is a startling conclusion. What is different in all other places that it is not taught that one is liable to receive the death penalty? And what is different here that it is taught that he is liable to receive the death penalty? There is no unique stringency apparent in the rabbinic restriction on the recitation of Shema. The Gemara offers two answers, explaining that the conclusion of the Braisa essentially stems not from the magnitude of the transgression, no, but rather from the concern that the fence created around this particular mitzvah may be neglected. If you wish, say, answer number one, that one returning from work is quite anxious to go to sleep, and due to the risk that he will be overcome by sleep, he must be particularly vigilant in the recitation of Shema. That's answer one. And if you wish, instead, say answer two, that strong language is employed here in order to exclude the opinion of he who says that although the morning prayer and the afternoon prayer are mandatory, the evening prayer is optional. Therefore, it teaches us that the evening prayer is mandatory, and anyone who transgresses the pronouncement of the sages in this regard is liable to receive the death penalty. I was just thinking that is there a hacharka to recite only the Kriya Shema before chatzos, but Tfilas Arvis you can say even after chatzos, which is nogea lemaisa often when you go to a wedding and you can say the Kriya Shema before chatzos, but you're only going to get back and reach a minyan for Mariv after chatzos. So it's possible that according to the second teretz here, the Gemara connects and equates the Shemona Esrei together with the Kriya Shema. So it's possible that the Archaka was made for a tefillah as well, Meduik, in this passage of the Gemara. Maybe. Omer Mar, Kori Kriya Shema Omispalo, Mesaye Leil Rabbi Yochanan, Kamar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu Ben Olam Abo, Zahasomek Ke'ula Letfilah Shel Arvis, Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi Omer, Tefilos Be'em Zatiknum. In this brisa, the master said that one returns from work in the evening. When one returns from work in the evening, he enters the shul, recites the Shema, and prays. From this brisa, we see that at night, just as during the day, one first recites the Shema, and then secondly, prays. This supports the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. As Rabbi Yochanan said, who is assured of a place in the world to come? It is he who juxtaposes the blessing of redemption, recited after Shema, to the evening prayer. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, the opposite. The prayers were instituted to be recited between the two recitations of Shema. According to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, one recites the morning Shema, then recites all of the prayers, and only after the recitation of the evening prayer does he recite the evening Shema. Although the practical difference between these two positions is clear, the Gemara seeks to determine with regard to what do they disagree. What is the basis of their argument? The Gemara answers, if you wish, say that they disagree over their interpretation of a verse. If you wish, say instead that they disagree on a point of logic. If you say that they disagree on a point of logic, then the argument relates to the redemption recited after Shema, whose focus is the exodus from Egypt, the first redemption. The question is whether that redemption began at night, which would render it appropriate to juxtapose redemption to the blessing of the evening prayers as well, in prayer for immediate redemption, since that's when it happened, the Geulas Mitzrayim happened at night, or perhaps the redemption from Egypt only began during the day, in which case there's no reason to be summoned Geula Letzvila at night. The Rebbe Yochanan Tzara Geula Meorta Na Mehavi, Ela Geula Me'al Yasa, Lo Havya Ela Ad Tzafra. The Rebbe Yeshua Ben Levi Tzara came into Lo Havya Ela, but not Me'tzafra, Lo Havya Geula Me'al Yasa. Rebbe Yochanan holds, redemption occurred in the evening as well. However, the full-fledged redemption was only in the morning. Since the redemption began in the evening, it is appropriate to juxtapose the blessing of redemption to the daily evening prayer. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, on the other hand, holds, since full-fledged redemption only occurred in the morning, and the redemption of the previous evening was not a full-fledged redemption, there is no need to juxtapose the blessing of redemption to the evening prayer. V'yibay samikra, u'shneya mikra echad darshu. And if you wish, say instead that the dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is not a difference over a point of logic, but over the interpretation of a verse. Both derive their opinions from the same verse, when you lie down and when you arise. Both interpreted that the juxtaposition in this verse of the recitation of the Shema at night to the recitation of the Shema in the morning draws a parallel between them. Rabbi Yochanan saw Maki Shchiv Lekima, Maki Makriya Shema Berchar Kach Tfila, Av Shchiv Nami. Kriyashma Varchakach Tfila. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Sauer, Maki Shchiva Lekima, Makima Kriyashma Samach Lemitaso, Av Shchiva Nami Kriyashma Samach Lemitaso. Rabbi Yochanan holds, the verse juxtaposes lying down and rising, just as when one rises, the recitation of Shema is followed by prayer, as everyone agrees that in the morning one juxtaposes redemption to the morning prayer, which immediately follows the Geula. So too, when one lies down, the recitation of Shema is followed by prayer. In the same order, Geula followed by Tefillah. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi maintains that the verse juxtaposes lying down and rising in a different sense. Just as when one rises, he recites Shema adjacent to rising from his bed. As the verse, when you rise, means that when one awakens, then you say the Shema first and daven next. So too, when one lies down, he recites Shema adjacent to lying down in his bed. Therefore, the recitation of the evening Shema should be performed as close as possible to the moment when one actually lies down. So you daven first, say Kriya Shema next. Meisiv Marbereta Ravina Be'erev Mavarach Shtayim Lefaneo Shtayim Lachareo Ve'i Amart Bai Lismoch Ha Lo Kasamek Geula Letfila Deha Bai Lememar Hashkiveinu. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it is a mitzvah to recite Shema before the evening prayer. But Mar, son of Ravina, raised an objection from a Mishnah. How can one do that? Say the Shema before the Tefillas Arvis. We learned in a later Mishnah, in the evening one recites two blessings prior to the recitation of Shema, and two blessings afterwards. And if you say that one must juxtapose redemption to prayer, doesn't he fail to juxtapose the redemption to prayer as he must recite Hashkivenu, help us lie down? That's a bracha after Geula, before Tevila. The blessing recited after the blessing of redemption, which constitutes an interruption between redemption and prayer. Amri kevin tekinu rabbanan hashkivenu ki geula arich tadamya. Ti lo temahachi, shachri sechi matzi sami. Baha amar abdi yochana betchila omar Hashem svasaititach. Ulu vasofa omar gihi yu l'ratzonim reifi. They say in response, since the sages instituted the practice of reciting help us lie down, hashkivenu, it is considered one extended blessing of redemption, and therefore does not constitute an interruption. Since if you fail to say that the sections added by the sages are considered no less significant than the original prayers, and therefore would be a hefsek, if you don't say that, then can one juxtapose redemption to prayer even in the morning? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, before every prayer one recites the verse, Hashem, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your glory, Tehillim and Nunala, as a prelude to prayer. Afterward, one recites the verse, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. That's Tehillim Yotes. Doesn't the verse, Hashem Svasai Tevtach, constitute an interruption between the redemption and the prayer? Ella, Hasam Kevin de Tekinu Rabbanan Lameimar, Hashem Svasai Tevtach, Kitvila Richtadamia. Achanami Kevin de Tekinu Rabbanan Lameimar Hashkivenu, Kigula Richtadamia. Rather, there, since the sages instituted that one must recite, Lord, open my lips, it is considered an extended prayer, and not as an interruption. Here, too, with regard to the evening prayer, since the sages instituted to recite the blessing, help us lie down, Ashkivenu, it is considered as one extended blessing of redemption. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avine, Kol ha'omer tehillah ledavi b'kol yom, shalosh pe'amim, muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Ben ha'olam haba. Tangential to Rabbi Yochanan's statement that one who juxtaposes redemption and prayer is assured of a place in the world to come, a similar statement is stated. Rabbi Elazar said that Rabbi Avinu said, anyone who recites a Psalm of David, that's what we call Ashrei, in Tehillim, Kuf, Mem Hei, three times every day is assured of a place in the world to come. My Taima, the statement extolling the significance of this particular chapter of Psalms, usually referred to as Ashrei, because its recitation is preceded by recitation of the verse, happy are those who dwell in your house. Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha, they praise you. Oshrei Yoshvei Vesecha, Odi Halalucha Selah, which is really not from Kuf Mem Hei, it's really from, that verse is from Pe Tehillim also, but a different parak, Pe Dalet. So that raises the question, what is the reason that such significance is ascribed to this particular chapter? If you say that it's because it's arranged alphabetically, then let us say, happy are those who are upright in the way. That means Tehillim Kuf Yotes, where the alphabetical arrangement appears eight times. So it should be even better than Ashrei. Rather, if you suggest that this particular chapter is recited because it contains praise for God's provision of sustenance to all of creation, you open your hand and satisfy every living thing with favor, then let him recite Hallel, the great Hallel, which is Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav, in which numerous praises are written. This is where it says, Kili Olam Chasto, I think 26 times in a row, including who provides food to all flesh, whose kindness endures forever, which is the 25th verse in Kuf Lamed Vav, Tehillim. Ela Mishum De Ispei Tarti. Rather, the reason why Tehillah LeDavid is accorded in preference is because it is containing both an alphabetical acrostic as well as mention of God's provision of sustenance to all of creation. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Malo Ne'amar Nun Ba'Ashrei, Mipnei Sheyesh Ba'Mapaltan, Ha'Mapalosan Shel Sonei Yisrael, Tichsiv Naflo Lososiv Kum Basulas Yisrael. Additionally, with regard to this psalm, Rabbi Yochanan said, why is there no verse beginning with the letter Nun in Ashrei? Because it contains an allusion to the downfall of the enemies of Israel, a euphemism for Israel itself. And it is written, the virgin of Israel has fallen, and she will rise no more. abandoned in her land. Nun will raise her up. That's from Amos Perikei, which begins with the letter Nun. Due to this verse, Ashrei does not include a verse beginning with the letter Nun to not connote something negative. The Marava Vitati Lahachi, Naf level of Sosa, Flame Pol O, Kum, Basulas Israel. Amrav Navar Bayezka, Kafilo Hachi, Chazar David, Usmacham, Beruch, Kodesh, and Amar, Somei, Hashem, Lachol, and Oflim. In order to ease the harsh meaning of this verse in the West, in Eretz Israel, they interpret it to mean, with a slight adjustment, more optimistic, she has fallen, but she shall fall no more. Rise, Virgin of Israel. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak adds, even so, David went and provided support through divine inspiration. Although King David did not include a verse beginning with the letter Nun, alluding to Israel's downfall, he foresaw that the verse that would be written by Amos through divine inspiration, and in the very next verse, which begins with the letter Samech, reads, "The Lord upholds the fallen and raises up those who are bowed down." Therefore, through divine inspiration, David offered hope and encouragement. Although the Virgin of Israel may have fallen, the Lord upholds the fallen. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Bar Avino, Gadol Mashenamra b'Michael, Yosemi Mashenamra b'Gabriel, De'ilu b'Michael k'siva yaf eleyach avin asrafim, v'ilu gam b'Gabriel k'siva ha'ish Gabriel asher isi b'chazim b'tchilim u'af b'yaf. After this discussion of the statement that Rabbi Elazar said, that Rabbi Avina said, another statement of Rabbi Elazar is cited. Rabbi Elazar bar Avina said, "What was said about the angel Michael is greater than what was said about the angel Gabriel. As about Michael, it was stated, 'And one of the seraphim flew to me,' from Yeshayahu Perikvah, indicating that with a single flight, the seraph arrived and performed its mission. While regarding Gabriel, it is written, 'The man Gabriel, whom I had seen at the beginning in a vision, being caused to fly swiftly, approached close to me about the time of the evening offering.'" From Daniel, Perikis. The double language used in the phrase "to fly swiftly," mu'af bi'af, indicates that he did not arrive at his destination as in a single flight, but rather that it took him two flights. My mashma d'hai echad michalhu. To Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, it is clear that one of the seraphim refers to Michael, and the Gemara asks, from where is it inferred that the one mentioned in the verse is Michael? On Rabbi Yochanan, Asya Echad Echad, Ksiv Hachav Bayaf, Eli Yachamin Esrafim, Ksiv Hassam, Behini, Michael Echad, Asarim Harishoni, Bala Azraini. Rabbi Yochanan said, this is derived through a verbal analogy between the words one and one. Here it is written, "And one of the seraphim flew to me," in Yeshayahu Perikvah. And there it is written, "And behold, Michael, one of the chief ministers of the king, came to my aid," in Daniel Perikyud. Since the verse from Daniel refers to Michal as one, which a Gadic Midrash interprets as the unique one, so too one of the seraphs described in Yeshayahu must also refer to the unique one, which is Michael. Tana, Michael ba'achas, Gabriel b'shtayim, Eliyahu ba'arba, u'malach ha'mavas b'shmona, u'b'sha'as ha'magecho ba'achas. This discussion in the Gemara concludes with the Tosefta that arrives at a hierarchy of angels based on the number of flights required by each one to arrive at its destination. It was taught in a Tosefta. Michael, as stated above, is in one flight. That's the most superior. Gabriel in two flights. Eliyahu Hanavi in four flights. And the angel of death in eight flights. During a time of plague, however, when the angel of death seems ubiquitous, he arrives everywhere in one flight. Rahman al-Islam. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Avo Pishakara Adam Kriyash Mabba Basic Nesis, Mitzvah Likrosa Only Tasa. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maikra, Rigziva Altehato, Imru Vavachem, Amishkachem, Benomusela. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, even though one recited Shema in the shul, it is a mitzvah to recite it upon his bed in fulfillment of the verse when you lie down. Rabbi Yossi said, what verse alludes to the fact that one must recite Shema in the evening upon his bed as well? Tremble and do not sin. Say to your heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. From Tehillim Perek Dalet. This is understood to mean, recite Shema, about which it is written, on your hearts, upon your bed, and afterwards, be still, and sleep. Again, Rigzu Va'al Techatau Imru Vilvavchem, reference to Kriya Shema, Vilvavchem, Amishkavchem, on your bed, V'domu Selah, and be silent and sleep. Amarav Nachman, with regard to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement, Rav Nachman said, Im Talmud Chacham Hu Ein Tzarich. This concludes Daf Dalet.